Okay. Tonight's shiur, it's Leil Hashanah Rabbah. Will be a little sprinkling of something from Shemini Atzeres, a little bit of the end of the Torah, Zosa Bracha, something from Bereishis, as we're right in the middle of it all. It's brought to you by, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. We recite on Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, here in Eretz Yisrael, the Tefillah of Geshem. We find an interesting difference between the tefillah of Geshem and that of Tal. The tefillah, when we say of Tal, it's written in the form of Tashrak. What is Tashrak? Tashrak is the opposite of the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet in alphabetical order. And Tashrak is the opposite. Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf means it goes backwards. So Tal is written Tashrak. It's Tein L'Ratzos, begins with a Taf. Shisem O'Bracha with a Shin. Rov, Dagan, then Reish, and then Komeim, Ir, Kuf, it works down. Tafshin, Reish, Kuf. Geshem, which we are about to say, is the opposite. It starts Aleph, then goes Beis, it says Av, Nimshach, then Berachto with the Beis, Berachto, Ke'etz, and then Genanto, Hitzalto with the Gimel, etc. It goes Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. So why the difference? So another place where we find the Tashrak is by Musaf on Shabbos. When we say the middle section of the Musaf Shemona Esrei, we say the Lashon of Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Karbonoseha. Tikanta begins with a Taf, Shabbos Shin, Ratzisa Reish, and Karbonoseha Kuf. It again goes Tashrak. So what's the idea? So Shabbos, as we know, is Koveya, was Nikba by Hashem, and when he created in the world, the seventh day he rested, and from then on, always the seventh day of Shabbos. Shabbos comes from Hashem. The Ashpa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since it comes from Hashem, whatever comes from Hashem here down, it goes like backwards. Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, etc. However, what comes from us, when we, you know, bring it, and we it through our tefillahs, etc., so then it goes the Aleph base. And therefore, Shabbos, which is nikbah by Hashem, is Tashrak, right? As we see in the Shemona Esrei. Tikanta Shabbos, Rezisa Berach, Dorman Oseha. Geshem, where does Geshem come? Geshem comes, and we daven, and says that at the beginning of the world there was no rain, and until Adam Arishon, Rashi brings down Adam Arishon, daven for the rain. So it comes from us, the rain. Remele, when the tefillah of Geshem is Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Whereas Tal, the Gemara says, those of you who learn Tainus, it's Tal never stops. There's doesn't matter. It's not Tal in our tefillah, there's always Tal. The world can't exist without constant Tal, constant dew. So Mele, since that's like from Hashem, in the tefillah of Tal, we say it in the form of Tashrak, because whatever comes from Hashem is Tashrak. When it comes from us, like the Geshem, is Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. We say in the pasuk in the Zosa Bracha towards the beginning, says Veyomar Hashem Misinai Ba Vezarach Misiolamo Afia Meyar Paran Veasami Riv Veskodesh Mimino Eish Das Lamo. First, the pasuk referring to the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai, and uses the lashon of Mimino Eish Das Lamo. So the Tosfos asks the famous question in Gemara and Shabbos. That relates to us on Shabbos Peches, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah, he was kaf aleim har kigigis, right? He put the Torah down on us like this big barrel. And he said, if you accept the Torah, good. If you don't, shamte kuvar kuraskim, I'm going to bury you here. So Tosas asked the famous question, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu have to put the har on us kigigis when anyways we said beforehand, nasa benishma? Right, he asked the Goyim, do you want the Torah, what does it say, etc. And then when he asked us, we said, no problem, Nasav, and whatever it says, we'll take it, Nasav and Ishma. So then why was it necessary to put the force us, okay, you better accept the Torah? He didn't have to do that. We already said we'll do it, Nasav and Ishma. So Tosfos gives one answer. He says, because maybe they're going to change their mind when they see the fire. You know, when the fire coming down, they're going to get so scared of it. It's okay, maybe, and then again, forget about the Nasim. And Ishmael, they're going to run away. And therefore, Hashem said, no running away. Kafaleim harkigigis. That's Tosfos' answer. The Midrash gives a different answer. The Midrash says that it's what they said, Nasim and Ishmael, that was for the Torah Shebichtav. If you look at Torah Shebichtav, that's not a big deal. You know, literally what it says in the Torah, not such a big deal to keep. right? But when the Torah Shebaal Peh, when you add in all the Perushim and the Rabbanans and everything else that goes along with it, so that they have to be forced. That was Kafaleim. So the Torah Shebechtav, that's what's in Asu Nishma. But Hashem said, no, I have to force them now for the Torah Shebaal Peh. So it's a beautiful remez in the words Eish Das Lamo, right? Because Eish Das Lamo is a remez to both of these Perushim. What Eish is Tosas Teretz, right? They have to be forced because of the Eish, the fire, that they're going to be scared of the fire and run away. Therefore, that's the Eish. And Das Lamo is the same Osios as Talmud, which is Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's the second answer of the Midrash. So both answers, Eish and Das Lamo, is the two answers of Tosas and the Midrash. And I was thinking to add to that, a little taich, that there's a Kri and a Ksiv here. Right. If you look in the Torah, it's written as one word, Eish, Eish, Eish Das, at least written as one word. Okay, but you're supposed to read it as if it's two words, Eish and Das Lamo. So it could be that the Kri there, that we read in two words, is so we should be Meram, is these two Terutzim. Really, Eish Das is one. So, no, there's two Terutzim here. There's Eish and then Das Lamo. There's a Ramesses Terutzim. There's another beautiful gra, and this, he says, what's this shot of mimi no eish das lamo? So we said before that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first came to the Goyim, and he offered them the Torah. He came to Esav, and he said, what's written in it? He said, lotir tzachah, forget it, we have to kill. He came to Yishmael, what's written in it? You can't steal. He said, oh, we have to steal, etc. And then he came to us, and we said, you know, no problem. And we said, nasa v'nishma, Hashem said to us, anochi Hashem lokecha. So it's interesting, Gra points out that the things that Hashem told the Goyim was on the left side of the Luchos, like the left side, Lo Tirzach, Lo Signov, etc., that was on the left side. Whereas by us, Hashem said, Nochi Hashem Elokecha, that was on the right side. So Mela, that's the Mimino Eish Das Lamo. The Yamin, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. That's the Mimino Eish Das Lamo. It's Gemara in Megillah that says that Zvulun complain, right? When we have the brachas of Zvulun, and Zvulun complained, he was given a portion of mountain, a very mountainous region, and didn't want that. He wanted fertile pasture, agriculture, whatever, and he wasn't happy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, don't worry, even though you're on the shore, you're by the mountains, but you'll have something very valuable. You'll have the chilazon, and you'll have the eschuchis levana, and you'll have a good portion anyways. So the marsha is very small, one-line marsha here is very interesting. Then he points out that Zvulun and Yisachar, you know, they go together, the partners. And they had the same portion. Right, they were together. It's just that Zvulun used it, you know, and worked, and Yisachar learned, and so they had the same portion. So the Marsha makes an interesting observation. It says in the Torah, in the Gemara, in Megillah, we don't see Yisachar complaining. Right, they have the same portion. Zvulun complains, oh, I don't want the mountains. I want and they're back and forth. But Yisachar had the same portion. He didn't say anything. So the Marsha points out, you see from here that a Ben Torah doesn't complain. Right, Yisachar, the Ben Torah. He says the Bali Torah. He calls them. They don't complain. They accept whatever Hashem does is fine. So the people that are not Bali Torah, they're the ones that end up complaining. The famous story with the Chafetz Chaim, that once somebody came to him and they said they needed a mashkiach for the yeshiva, for their yeshiva, and he asked Chafetz Chaim, do you have anybody you'd like to recommend? So he said, yeah, Dafka, I think will be very good for the job, whatever he recommended, gave his recommendation, fine. They said, great. So all of a sudden, on Chol HaMoed, Chafetz Chaim says, please bring me a piece of paper and a pen, I have to write an urgent letter. So he knew it must be urgent, he never wrote on Chol HaMoed, and it must be like something very serious. So what was it? It was a letter to, the urgent letter to this these people, yeshiva, whatever, that asked for the, you know, so they needed a mashkiach, and he gave his recommendation of a certain person. So he wrote in this letter in Chol HaMoed, sent it urgently, I take back my recommendation. Right? He says, no, don't take him. On Chol HaMoed, he saw it so urgent, immediately, don't accept. So they asked what happened, you know. He said, I thought he'd be good for the job, you know, Mashkiach. But then all of a sudden, he just came to me yesterday, this same person, and, you know, he didn't know that I recommended him, whatever. He didn't know anything was going on behind the scenes. But he just came up to me and he says, oh, Rebbe, I need a bracha, I don't have parnasa, I need parnasa, can you please? So as soon as he said that, Chavetz Chaim says he's not for the job. He's complaining, he's not parnasa, he's complaining. Somebody who complains can't be a mashgiach, you know. So we said, the Marsha says, Ben Torah doesn't complain. But a mashgiach, kol shekein, he's going to be a shkiach at a yeshiva, and he's complaining about parnasa. So he says, he took back his recommendation on Chol HaMoed, wrote a letter to cancel. And Rav Shlomo Shadron points out, and you say, you see how a person, what happens when a person is impatient, and he complains. He said, what would it be if this Mashgiach, okay, this guy that was supposed to be a Mashgiach, that if he would have waited a little longer, right, he didn't know what's going on. If he would have waited one more day, he would have got the job, because he wouldn't have complained. The recommendation was ready in, and he would have got the job. Mashgiach, you have a nice parnasa or whatever, he'd be set. Because he was didn't have patience and wait a little bit longer, and instead he complained, he lost his job as the Mashgiach. So Shalom pointed out, if you just a little more patience and not to complain, would have changed the whole matzav. He would have had the, what he'd wanted to begin with. I just recently I read an interesting story also, which brings out the same idea. It's a Peledic story. There was a young man, a chassan. So he was going out with this girl, or whatever. And the shadchan was making all the, you know, trying to make everything work out. And they the side of the chassan, you know, wanted the girl side to, you know, put up a certain amount of money, you know, etc. to pay for rent, and then possibly for an apartment, etc. Whatever. So so the girl accepted the family, whatever, they accepted it because she had a grandfather who lived in America who had was well to do. So, and he had said that he'd help her out or whatever, you know, financially when she gets married or whatever. So fine. So they counted on this grandfather, and they went through with the shidduch, and sure enough it worked out okay. And then they got engaged, and they came the plans for the divorce. Okay, so the divorce planned in this, didn't say in the book exactly what, some town that's near a city, whatever, near the seashore. And fine, so the chassan's getting all ready to go, and so prior to that, they wanted to make the divorce at a certain time, but they got the grandfather from America wanted to fly to the occasion. And he said he had some medical issues to take care of, and he asked if they can please postpone it for like 10 days. He said, okay, big deal, 10 days, not a problem, fine. So they postponed it, and great, all was ready to go, 10 days came, planned for the game in the night of the war, and the chassan's getting all ready, getting his suit and tie on, everything good, ready to go, and he didn't want to be late. The war was like called for like 8 o'clock, so he made sure, it's about a 40 minute drive. So he left like an hour before 7 o'clock, make sure he gets there on time. So he gets in his car, and he drives to the board. So he arrives at the city where he's supposed to take place, and he comes towards the Tachanah Merkazit. And there's an old man like standing on the side there, like hitchhiking, you know, trying to stop a car. So the chassan stops next to this man and says, where are you going? So he says, well, I'm going to such and such a street, and if you don't mind taking me there, you know, I'd really appreciate it, except only on one condition. He says, what's that? He says, you have to take me right to the door. He says, because I have trouble walking, and if you don't take me to the door, I can't, it's either take me there or don't take me, you know, but you can't drop me off in the middle because I have trouble walking. So here I can catch a cab, so if you'll take me, great, if not I'll take a cab, but you have to take me to the door. So the chassan looks at his watch, and he sees, he says, okay, he has a little bit of time extra, you know, he left a little bit earlier, in a few minutes he says, Seder, he knew basically where he had to go, and takes the old man, he gets in the car. Fine. So he's traveling towards the thing, because he figures pretty much on the way, just to make a little turn on the way and drop him off, and then go on to the Kala's house. So he approaching the street where he has to make this turn, to take the man. And then he sees a big sign sign from Matz. You know what Matz is? Mem Ein Tzadik, right? That stands for Machleket Avodot Tziburiyot, which means like public works department, right? Where they make roads and things like that. Anyway, which reminds me of a joke. It's only for those of you who speak Hebrew. I apologize to those of you who speak Hebrew. There was these two guys were driving together in a car, and they're driving. They see a sign, and it says a tzaddik. We get tzaddik on the sign. So he turns to his friend. He says, "Hey, what is that? What tzaddik stand for?" He goes, "Huh? Well, you know what it stands for?" He goes, "No, for tzivuv." So he says, "Oh, okay, fine." So they keep driving, whatever. See another tzaddik. And they say, he turns to his friend, "Hey, what does that tzaddik stand for?" He goes, "What do you mean? It's the same thing. Tzivuv. That's for tzivuv." He goes, "Oh, okay, I'm saying. Fine, drive a little more. I'll say another sign. It says Matz. You know, the public works. Matz. Mem Ayin Tzaddik." So he says, "Well, what does Matz stand for?" "Don't you know? Ma od tzivuv." Okay, anyway, so he sees this sign, and he can't go in. So it says, he stops, he reads the sign, he says, "In order to get to the street, you have to go through such and such a street." And he's like, "Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. I have to go," he "have to make a cheshbon, I have to go all the way around, like take the next street and turn around. It's like, I have to go to the end of the thing, turn around, go back, it's a whole big long thing." And it's getting late, and it says, starting out, he's like, he has to get to his bar. And he's like, doesn't know what to do. So he says, "Listen, mister, I apologize, but I can't take you. I'll let you out here. Here's the street. You have to walk in like 100 meters, and there's the, your house, whatever." So he's like, he goes, "Excuse me, you told me you'd take me. I, that was the condition, that you take me to the thing. You can't just drop me off over here." So he said, "I understand that, but I thought I can just go straight there, but there's this detour with the Matz, I'm going to be late." And he says, "Excuse me, you told me," and this guy, his old man, was getting on a chasm's nerves already. He's like, tearing out his ear. He wants to get to his board. He's bugging me. "You have to take me there." He got so upset. He goes, "Yeah, fine." So he said, "Yeah, you told me you'd take me there. Otherwise, I would have taken the taxi. I told you." So he said, fine. Turns around. He goes, drives all the way back to Takan America seat, the Dafka in spite. All the way to Takan America, opens the door, says, "Okay, here. You get here. Go back. I brought you back where I took you. Here, get out of my car." So he says, "Okay, fine." So he gets out of his car. He goes, "Oh, I know these old men, Anyways, he goes on, drives back, goes on to his fort, and he comes there, a little bit late or whatever, and he's like, "Oh, okay, shalom, mazel tov." He walks in, great, fine. And then, they wanted to get the proceedings going, but they didn't start the fort right away. So they're saying, "What are you waiting for?" So he said, "Well, the Kala's grandfather flew in from America, and we're waiting for him to come to the fort, and then we'll start." So he should be here any minute. We're waiting. He's late. We should be here already. Okay, fine. Wait. Finally, knock on the door and open up about a half hour later, and there's the grandfather. "Oh, good. He's goes, "Oh, I'm so happy. I want to meet the chassan." "Oh, great. Whatever. Bring him to the chassan." Who is the grandfather? You guessed it. The old man. Yeah, well, that was pretty much the end of the whole thing. He takes one look at the chassan, he goes, This is your chassan! Forget it, I'm not giving you a penny! And the chassan is on me, not anymore, not with this guy! Anyway, b'kitzur, the whole thing fell apart. And all because of this chassan, who was, we said, a little bit too anxious, and had patience, and calmed down. Otherwise, he would have had himself been set instead. The end. Okay. Let's go now to the beginning of the Torah. So, Bereishis, of course, starts off, Bereishis bara Elokim, es ha-shamayim, ve-es ha-aretz. So the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Rosh Tavarcha Emes. We know the Torah is Emes, the Torah is Emes, and there's a hint to Emes, Rosh Tavarcha Emes, right at the beginning of the Torah is a hint to Emes. Where do we see? And then one of the first words, Bereishis bara Elokim. Take the last letters Bereshit bara Elokim. Bereshit is Taf. Bara Aleph. And Elokim Mem spells Emes. The soft Tevis Emes. So that's Rosh Devarch Emes, as it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim. Similarly, another place where you have a remes to Emes, the Seres HaDibros begin with Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Aleph. Right? The Mishnah begins with what? Me'im Asai Korin Hashma Barvit. Begins with a Mem. And the Gemara, the first Gemara, begins how? Tana Hechechikai. It's tough. So we have the Seres HaDibros, Tosh Tebichtav, the Seres HaDibros begin with an Aleph, and the Mishnah begins with a Mem, and the Talmud begins with a Taf, also Emes. And there's another very nice remez as well from Ravram Ashkelon, and he says that even Rashi was miskaven to the Emes as well. Why? You take the first Rashi in Chumash, begins, Rashi says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Right, so what letter does Rashi's parish begin with? Aleph, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Aleph. You turn to the end of the Torah, and the last Rashi in Chumash ends with the words, Yeshar Kochach Asher Shibarta, Shabarta. So what does it end with? A Taf. Shibarta ends with a Taf. So the first begins with an Aleph, Amar Rav Yitzchak, it ends with a Taf, Shibarta, Taf. And now we go to the middle. So you go to the middle. Where's the middle of Rashi's parish? Well, let's take the middle word of the Torah, which is the word gachon. Right? Talks about the sheretz, whatever. It goes on with gachon. So Rashi says, what is gachon on the middle word in the Torah? Look at Rashi. It says me'ayim, the kishkas, right? Which begins with a mem. So the first letter in Rashi is an aleph. The last letter of Rashi is a Taf, and the middle letter of Rashi is Mem. It also spells out Emes. There's a cute Maisa with Rav Amnon Yitzchak, I'm sure you're familiar with. He was leading a Rabbanim in the area of Bali Tshuva, and being Makara people. So he was once speaking to this woman who was a journalist, a total non-religious woman, and he was at some Hartzah, whatever, and she was there, and she was claiming that didn't believe that that God created the world. So he said, "What do you mean? So how did it come? Oh, this happened by accident, you know, Big Bang, whatever. There's no such thing as a creator. There's no God." So he says, "No." So he said, "Let me. I can ask you a question or two." He says, "Sure, go ahead." So he says, okay. So he says, turned around. There's a big white wall, okay, over there. So he picked up a cup. It wasn't water, but it was, he said, imagine this cup was full of black ink, okay? And she says, yeah. And he says, what do you think are the chances? If I take this cup of black ink and I throw it against this white wall, what are the chances that I will get a perfect aleph, you know, in script, like, they're not messy, they're exactly perfectly, you know, perfect aleph. And if throwing it once, she said, no, forget it, in a way. And if twice, three times, how many do you think, maybe, who knows how many, thousands of times, maybe I would be able to eventually, sometime, maybe, by fluke at all. So he said, okay, let's just say after some 10,000 times, maybe I would, by luck, it happened to get an aleph, maybe. Okay. So then he said, now, what are the chances are that if I take another cup of ink, after I have this olive here on the board, and I throw another cup of ink, and next to it will be a mem. So next will be mem. And he says, wait a second, I'm not talking about, you see, it has to be that pretty much the first throw. Why? Because if I mess up, it's going to mess up the olive, I'm going to start again. Right? So it's got to go right next to the olive and be a perfect mem. He said, what chance is that? You know, can be figured. Who knows? And even if what if right and then right next to the mem there would be a nun. What chance would that I'd be able to first thing to right next to that boom and right and then perfect mem no and then next to that a vav and next to that another nun sofit spells Amnon Yitzchak. Right? So you go, that's impossible. It's not impossible. You can't. So he says, okay, listen. He says, to have it, you know, throw some ink on a wall, and just to get these letters saying Amnon, he says, that, and this can't happen just by chance. But this Amnon pointing to himself, what, this could happen by chance? That's the point. I don't know what happened to the woman later, but... Similarly, there's Rav Elchanan Kunshtad. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah. I think we said a story about him with the sugar on Shabbos recently, one of the shiurim. But once, it's another great maestro with him, he was walking Yerushalayim, and he went to a store. So he wanders into a store, and it just so happens, you have this sometimes here in Israel, you know, everybody's, you know, easygoing, whatever. He goes to the store, there's nobody there. You know, the guy went out to the bathroom, or something, who knows, you know, whatever. And, you know, he leaves the store open. Okay, fine. So he's looking around, whatever, and there's nobody, the boss happened, you know, owner's store happened to not be there. Okay. So all of a sudden, this chiloni, you know, non-religious man, walks into the walks into the store, and looks around. He says, turns to the rav, and he says, "Where's the balabais? You know, where's the owner of the store? Where's the balabais?" So Rav Kunshtad turns to him and he says, "Oh, here, this store. He says, there's no balabais." He says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Yeah, no, this store doesn't have a balabais. There's no." So what are you talking about? It has to have a balabai. He says, no, it doesn't. So what are you talking about? Look, everything, all the merchandise is nicely set up over here, and there's like, you know, cash register and everything. What do you mean this store does not have a balabai? It has to have a balabai. He says, I'm telling you, it doesn't have a balabai. How did it get here? What are you talking about? Oh, he says, you didn't hear? He goes, no, what are you talking about? He says, well, you see, I'll tell you exactly how it got here, he tells the guy. He says, you see, in the port of Haifa, not so long ago, he says, there was an explosion. It's a big explosion, like a chemical explosion, and there are these molecules in the air, and it got all mixed up in the air, and then a strong wind came and blew all these molecules, and they fell over here in Yerushalayim, right here on the spot, and boom, a store, you know, a merchandise, everything, just boom, pop, right here, and then the front of the store is never fallen by. This guy looks at him, he says, "Are you out of your mind?" He says, "You need a psychiatrist quickly. You're crazy." So he says, "Let's let your ears hear what your mouth says, right?" He said, I tell you one story here happened by accident, right? And I need a psychiatrist. And you say the whole world, you know, came about like this, and you're normal?" Okay, well, let's stand up with one last vort. Also in creation, the fourth day of creation, Hashem created the sun, the moon, the stars. And it says in the pasuk, "Vayas Elokim Eshnei Maros Agdolim Esamor Agadol Imemshalos Bayom," the great light that to rule in the day, and the Morah Katon, the small one, Imemshalos Balayla, night, and the Kochavim. So I saw recently a beautiful parish from the Anaf Yosef, who uses this Gemara that brings down this pasuk to explain a very strange minhag that we're all familiar with. And that is that when we say Kiddush Levana, right, we say the bracha, and we say all kinds of psukim, etc. And then at one point we do something very strange, right? We turn to our neighbor, we say Shalom Aleichem. Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, Shalom Aleichem. He said, "What's pshat?" All of a sudden, in the middle of the of Kiddush Levana, he's saying Shalom Aleichem to people. What's going on? So some want to say, because we just finished saying the pasuk, Tipol Aleim Emasa V'Fachad, you know, we want the Hashem to bring fear, etc., on the Goyim, but saying such a thing, you know, Tipol Aleim, it sounds like I want, you know, my neighbor to be, you know, to have the fear fall on him. Then I turned to him and said, no, so I'm not talking about you. Shalom Aleichem. Shalom, where are you? Okay, so I want to say that. But I saw a beautiful parish at the Yan of Yosef. He says the following. There's a famous Gemara I'm sure you're all familiar with. The Chazal, Rashi brings it, that there's a difficulty in the pasuk here, right? It starts off, "V'yas Elokim et shnei ha-me'oros ha-gdolim." Hashem made the two great me'orot, two great lights. Okay, sounds like they were both great. Shnei me'orot ha-gdolim. They're both great. And then the pasuk continues, "Ezamor ha-gadol," the great one to be in the day, and the small one in the night. What's going on? You just said two great ones, two big ones, and now all of a sudden there's one big and one small. Well, what happened? So, famous Chazal, that Hashem created them both big to begin with, until the sun and the moon, right? Until the moon came to Hashem and said, Hashem, how can you have two kings and under one crown? Two big, they're both the same powerful, no? So his obviously intent, the moon's intent obviously was, said he wanted the Hashem to, you know, do away with the sun or whatever, and so he should be the boss. But Hashem said, oh yeah, you're trying to do that to the sun. So the opposite, right? He said, go make yourself small. And that's what happened. Then the moon became small. That's why we have the continuation of Pasuk. The Mora Gadol, after Hashem made the moon get small, then you have the great one in the daytime and the small one at nighttime, the moon. So the Saraf Niyotze makes a beautiful Ha'ara. He says, it's something very interesting here. What happened? We know that the moon doesn't have its own light. Right? When we go outside and we see the moon shining, it's not the moon doesn't have any light. Okay, what does the light from the moon come from? The sun. So we see an interesting thing. What happened? The moon tried to do in the sun, right? He tried to, that the sun should, you know, he said to Hashem, oh, two kings, you know, he wanted Hashem to take away the sun's power. So Hashem said, no, you get small. So the sun, you know, what should the sun start? He says, oh yeah, look at this moon, he tried to get me, oh yeah, whatever. But he didn't. He said to him, he said, no, I have no problem. You wanted me to, I know you attacked me. I know you wanted me to, you know, to be small or whatever, as he said to the moon, Kilu. But he says, but I'm letting slide go right by me, I don't care. I'm not gonna makpin on you, no problem. And you know what, moon? Not only that, I'll even give you up my light. I'll give you of my light, because you don't have any light. I'll give you my light, because I'll show you I'm not makpid. I don't care what you did. You tried to get me to go smaller, but no, didn't work, and I have nothing against you. I'll give you my light. So we see this beautiful mina of the sun, right? And Ne'elavim, Ve'elimolvim, right? He was, even though he was insulted, whatever, but he didn't take it to heart, and he just let it slide. And not only that, he even was Meshalem, Tova, Tachasra, right? He gave good in place of bad. He wanted to bat him. Instead, he gave him back good. Ah. So what happens, says Adam Yosef, comes Kiddush Levana. When you go outside, and what's Kiddush Levana? That's when the new moon starts. New moon comes out, right? So finally, the first time we see the light of the moon, but again, we see the light of the moon, what is it telling us? Wait a second, the moon doesn't have any light. Where is this light coming from? From the sun. The sun gave the moon the light, even though the moon, you know, did something bad to it. It still gave it of its light. Ah, we're supposed to take a lesson. Supposed to say, wow, you see that? We're supposed to take a lesson from the sun. We're supposed to be like that also, right? Somebody that's bad to us, whatever, we shouldn't be makpid, we shouldn't overlook it, we shouldn't mavirin, as it said, just let it go. Not to be makpid. And not only that, we should even do good to the person that is bad to you. So therefore, when does this lesson come to us? Dafka, when we see for the first time the light being reflected from the moon. But Mela, that's why we say Shalom Aleichem. To show that, you know what? Shalom, we should have peace. I have nothing against you, nothing in the makfi, whatever. I'm willing to even give to you, even though it did bad to me. No problem whatsoever, right? There's another Maisa with, I think it was Rav Shimon Shkop, if I believe, I remember correctly, that it was also a similar Maisa, that he was insulted by somebody, and the certain Bacher, and when the Bacher came later and asked him for help or whatever, he just accepted it, no problem, I'll do what you want, I'll be nice to you, whatever, totally didn't take it to heart. So that's how we have to behave. And this is, therefore we say Shalom Aleichem. We say it three times because of Chazaka. Right? We know this, everything we want to mechazik, make it strong, so we do it three times. So Mele, we say Shalom Aleichem, Shalom, three times, so it should be Shalom between us, and nothing against you. And this is what is brought out when we see the moon, the reflected light of the moon for the first time. So, Zat Hashem, we should all be Zocha to Pit Katava. As we approach Hashanah Rabbah tonight, tomorrow, and go from that into a tremendous Simcha, Simchas Torah, and we should all have a good Yantuf and a good Din, and Mizrat Hashem, we should continue to have Shirim together for many weeks to come, and Bizocha to coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yemeinu V'Yameinu.